Time for the weekly edition of the Africa Report. We're joined by Stephanie Walters, Senior Research Fellow at the South African Institute for Security Studies. Stephanie, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Let's begin by focusing on Congo. What are the developments in terms of the Electoral Commission that are to be declared? Why today, and when will elections take place?
Well, elections are scheduled to take place in 2023, and this is the big, really the big litmus test for President Tshisekedi's willingness to change the way the Congo is governed and show us whether or not we're going to have free and fair elections in 2023. And so the composition of the Independent National Electoral Commission has always been highly politicized, and in the past really has been a body that has not been independent, has not been able to make decisions independently or objectively, and therefore the outcome of the last elections, for example, is a highly contested issue still, and those are the elections, of course, that President Tshisekedi won. So the candidates had to be declared by yesterday. The people who will be deciding on who the candidates are ultimately parliament, but they are nominated by a composition of civil society, religious groups, and political parties. And we already have a number of candidates who are highly contested, who are considered to be too close to the president. And so this is something that we're watching extremely closely to see how independent the institutions in the DRC are now under a new president.
Let's look at the issue of vaccines on the African continent. That is there an uptake? Can the process be managed, and how far can it go?
Well, this is a really good question. I mean, we know, of course, that we're highly concerned about African countries being able to have access to these vaccines. They are expensive, they're costly. We know that a lot of economies are not able necessarily to afford them on their own. And there are international efforts like COVAX, for example, aimed precisely at providing those vaccines for free. But in actual fact, there is a very low uptake in many of African countries. If you look at the DRC, if you look at Chad, if you look at other African countries, the population simply don't feel comfortable. They're still distrustful, unfortunately, of the vaccine. And part of that is that they don't necessarily really believe that COVID is something that has affected them or is something that is relevant to their lives. And this is to some extent because we haven't seen the kinds of mortality rates, the kinds of infection rates in other African countries, fortunately, of course, over the last 18 months. Now, one of the other problems that goes along with that is that not only is there not a big uptake of the COVID vaccine, but in fact, a lot of parents are now reluctant to have their children vaccinated as they normally would for things like measles, mumps, and rubella, because they're afraid that the hospitals might vaccinate the children with COVID, the COVID vaccine at the same time. Now, obviously, there's a lot of work going on with awareness raising and education, but this is going to be a big, big challenge. And then even beyond the question of uptake by people is the question of the logistics, reaching some of the more isolated parts of the continent where we know that infrastructure is sorely lagging. And that is another question. Right now we're looking at vaccination in big cities, which is of course very important because those are high density areas. But what are we going to do when we want to start vaccinating those populations that live in areas where there are no roads? I mean, the logistics and the cost of that will be a major challenge.
How has Mali been since the coup?
Well, Mali is really a place where lately I think many people are starting to really worry about the ability to restore the rule of law. We had an assassination attempt on the interim president just last week where he was in a public space and someone tried to stab him to death. Now, that person has been arrested and has since died in custody, which, of course, raises a whole number of questions about, first of all, how did he pass away in custody? And second of all, was he a lone wolf or was he part of another effort to destabilize this current transition? Now, elections are due to be held in Mali in 2022, but as we know, ECOWAS, the Regional Economic Community, and also the African Union have expelled Mali because they consider this to be coup d'etat, and of course that's one of the things that the African Union cannot accept. And so there are a lot of questions about how to keep Mali on track, how to continue to engage with Mali effectively, and how to make sure that this transition government, which is effectively a military government after a military coup, hands power back to civilian authority in a free and fair election in 2022.
Talking about coups, the other country is Chad. How has Chad been since the coup? What has been going on there?
No, you're absolutely right. And in fact, that's one of the big points of contention is why is Mali's situation considered to have been a coup while the African Union and other international organizations accepted what we now call a transition after Idriss Déby's death, when in fact it wasn't constitutional. So we now have a military transition council. They are attempting to have a national dialogue, which is meant to be inclusive, of course, of opposition parties and so on. We've seen the emergence of a new civil society movement, which isn't affiliated with any particular political party, which is trying to put pressure on the transition authorities to improve human rights. But we have continued to see arrests. We've continued to see crackdowns on public protests. One of the things that is really the preoccupation mainly is what exactly is happening in the former president's ruling party. This is a ruling party that has dominated Chadian politics for 30 years. And really what is going on behind the scenes is, in many ways, what will determine the outcome of Chad's future, much more than things like the national dialogue, because the different players who are in that former political party are, of course, trying to position themselves for more power, and there's just a lot of power wrangling going on. So it's still a very uncertain time for Chad at the moment.
It's certainly uncertain times on the African continent. Stephanie, as always, thank you very much for your time. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. You too.